Pastor Mark, we love you. Come. And it's been so good to have you home for just a few days. Heather, over here as well. Bless you guys. Appreciate you. Love you. And for those of you that don't know, he spent 20 years alongside of us here in ministry at Oak Creek Assembly of God. And our loss is Spain's gain, all right? And so we're thrilled you are blessing others across the seas.
Bless you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you very much. What a treat to be here tonight. Wow, thank you for the warm welcome we always receive every time we're able to get back here. And quite frankly, we've traveled back here a little bit the last couple of years. We've had a lot of just family celebrations, graduations from college. Our kids are growing up. You know that very well. Thank you for taking such good care of our little ones, our treasures in our lives, and God has been so good to us. We had a fabulous day yesterday. Thank you, Pastor, for sharing at the wedding. We were so blessed, and what a great, great day. Thank you for holding on to us so well. As Pastor said, we have been here for almost 20 years serving on staff, and it was our privilege to be just a small part of what God is doing through this church and this community, and it is fantastic. It is amazing, and I'm astounded. Every time I come back, I just ask Pastor John, is it really two weekends, the Christmas musical? And Pastor John says, yeah. And it's amazing what God is about to do in the days to come right here at Oak Creek Assembly of God in people's lives. Life change is about to take place here, amen? God is about to do the impossible in people's lives. People that have yet to meet Jesus, he's about to do the impossible. And I am thrilled just to be able to come here tonight and share what God's laid on my heart with you. As you know, Pastor mentioned, yesterday I had the privilege of giving my baby girl away in marriage, walking her down the aisle and handing her over to this guy that I don't quite know if I like him a lot yet. Actually, I like him a lot. He's a really good guy. If you know Joey, you know he's just easy to love. He's just a great, great young man. But boy, what a challenge for parents that have gone through giving away, you know, watching your children get married, or for dads giving your daughters away in marriage. It just like rips your heart out, you know, and I think it rips my heart out because I come face to face with the reality that life is changing. Life is changing, and it's always changing, isn't it? But we don't notice it until big moments like that, and if you're like me, what I really want to do when change comes is I want to hold on to what I have. I don't want to let go. I don't want to let go and just let God do what he's doing, because I like the comfortable. I like just to be who I am and what I feel safe with. But God's always doing something new, isn't he? He's always doing something new, and it's exciting to be a part of what he's doing here in Milwaukee, and of course for Heather and I, what he's doing in Spain, what he's doing all over the world. It's a beautiful thing. So thank you for holding on to us. Tonight, I want to ask you a question before we pray. And it's really where we're going with the message tonight. And it's a question that the Lord, I believe, laid on my heart after talking with Pastor about 2 months ago, planning for this night. And it's this simple question I have for you. And the question is, what are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? So let's bow our heads and pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our message, and we'll dive right in. Father, we thank you for this night, and we thank you, Lord, for your presence that we sense here in this place. We thank you, God, that you're with us. We thank you that we've met with you in these times of worship, connection with one another, giving in this offering. It's all been for you, worship to you, Jesus. And Lord, you've been in the middle of all of it. You've been encouraging us already, but tonight we pray that in this time, as we dive into your word, that you would speak. Jesus, be lifted high in this place. Speak clearly into our lives. God, may your word be heard above all other words. Have your way, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. So I have a question for you. Have you ever bailed out of a scary situation? Have you ever bailed out of a scary situation? It was probably about 8 or 9 years ago, Pastor, I don't know if you remember this, but it was a rather scary situation for the both of us. We were at a teen challenge golf outing. We're really bad golfers. If you've ever golfed with any of the pastors here, they're really bad golfers. I don't know if we have any good ones. Are there any? There's really no good ones. I mean, we go to golf courses and we tear them up, and we only golf once a year. At least that's the way we did it, you know, when we were here. But it was a teen challenge golf outing, and it was one of these wonderful fundraising events, and it was a fantastic day meeting with other pastors and just, you know, hacking up the golf course. Tearing up sod, that's what we did on the golf course. And it was, I think, between the ninth and tenth hole at Rainbow Springs or Silver Creek Country Club, one of those places. We were driving down this hill, and it had been raining earlier that day, and so the grass was wet. You remember this. The grass was wet, and I was a little afraid with Pastor driving the cart that day. I had one hand on the side, and it was a scary situation. And Pastor took a little turn as we're driving down this hill with wet grass, and the golf cart starts spinning in circles. I don't know if you were reliving glory days as a teenager, but I tell you what, I bailed out of that thing so fast. I thought, I'm not going down with this ship. I got out of there quick. I bailed out of that scary situation, and we had a good laugh, didn't we? It was a good time. Have you ever bailed out of a scary situation? I tell you, we face a lot of scary circumstances in our lives. A lot of things that make us uncomfortable. You know, the uncomfortable is not easy. And tonight, as we kind of consider this question, what are you holding on to? The context is this, and it's the title of my message. It's this idea. We're gonna talk for the next few moments about growing through grinding seasons in life. Growing through grinding seasons in life. We're not talking about momentary storms that quickly come and quickly go. We're talking about grinding seasons, scary situations that kind of just don't end, and they're difficult and they're hard. Storms that drag on and on and on. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? Growing through the grinding seasons of life. A rocky marriage, a wayward child, a broken relationship that we just wish would work. They're just so heavy. It could be a financial difficulty. Just one bill after another, one unexpected happening after another. Medical bills, car bills, house bills, grinding financial difficulty. Maybe you're in a major life transition and you feel the unrelenting grind of change. So much so that maybe you no longer recognize life as it once was. It could be the death of a loved one, and the grief won't let up, and it's a grind day in and day out. These are real situations, real seasons that we walk through in life. Maybe it's just a heavy load at work. It's one project after another, or it's a difficult boss, or it's challenging employees, and it's unrelenting. It grinds away at your energy. It steals your resources, and it chips away at your joy. In these seasons, in these challenges, the question I have is, what are we holding on to? What gives us hope? What gives us strength? What keeps us going? Grinding seasons are real. They can be suffocating. They grind away at our souls, but thank God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can grow through the grinding seasons of life. Friends, we need to recognize that in the grinding seasons of life, God invites us to step into uncomfortable situations for the purpose of our own transformation. I think it's safe to say that at times, He may even lead us into these grinding seasons. I don't know about you, but here's what I found. It's the uncomfortable moments, the grinding seasons of life, they reveal who Mark really is. Underlying fears that comfort kept dormant, they begin to rise to the surface. Insecurities no longer stay hidden. They even reveal maybe what we truly believe, things that we should not have put our faith in or looked for satisfaction in. We see who we really are. These uncomfortable moments, these grinding seasons of life, they reveal what's truly important to us. They can even they can clarify what matters in life. I was so astounded with the team that Pastor Stephanie brought to Barcelona to work with our women's conference. And one of the stories in that team was Sandy. And you know Sandy Callie's a dear, precious lady. And I kind of follow her on Facebook and follow a lot of you from a distance over there. And just, you know, praying with you as you pray for us. But, you know, Sandy to have gotten this report that, hey, this cancer situation is not good. And to her, it clarified what she needed to do in life. I need to follow through with what God has called me to do and to go to the mission field and to be a part of a short-term trip and to give myself in such a way. And it clarified to her in this grinding season, brought clarity and propelled her forward. These uncomfortable moments, these grinding seasons of life, they reveal things about us. You know, often, I don't know about you, but here's where I'm at. I'm most concerned with my comfort. I'm most concerned with that. But God is most concerned with my and our transformation. And He allows us to walk through these stormy, grinding seasons of life for His precious and beautiful purposes that He has for each one of us. Grinding seasons change us. You know, it's inevitable. They just change us. Often these seasons, they present us with decisions that will take us in new directions. The question I have for you tonight is maybe a grinding season that you've been in for maybe just a year or maybe many years. Maybe it's taken you in a direction that you wish you didn't go. What direction are you going now? Is it a place? Is it a direction you're headed that you don't want to be going in? Has the grinding season of life pushed you off course? You know, if you're not happy with where you're going, if you're not happy with how you see yourself in this moment, maybe the grinding season has just been weight after weight after weight after weight in your life, and you feel heavy, you feel downtrodden. Friend, it doesn't have to stay that way. Through the power of Christ, through the power of the Spirit, you can choose a new path. Here's what we need. Here's what we need. We need grit. We need to be gritty people. Grit. You know, some good old-fashioned stick to it, a never-give-up attitude. And I tell you, if one church has it, it's Oak Creek Assembly of God. But friends, we could always use a little more grit, can't we? We need to be gritty people. One website, newharbinger.com, it says this about grit. It says, grit is important because it is a driver of achievement and success. It's independent of and beyond what talent and intelligence contribute. Being naturally smart and talented are great, but to truly do well and thrive, we need the ability to persevere. Without grit, talent may be nothing more than unmet potential. You know, I believe that Christians ought to be the grittiest people on the planet. Not because we're better than anyone, but because we found an unlimited source of strength that empowers us to overcome every situation. Friends, we have hope, and it is true. You know, the grind is real. Grinding seasons come to each of us. They come our way. And as followers of Christ, as people who are empowered by the Spirit, we can grow in these seasons, in the grinding seasons of life, in those uncertain, difficult, and dangerous moments. The question I have for you and the question I have for me is, what are we holding on to? What are we holding on to in those grinding seasons? In Mark chapter 4, we come across a story that's repeated in a couple other Gospels as well. And in this story, we read about the disciples entering into a storm. And it's a bit of a shorter season, but I want to take that context and apply it to these ideas of grinding seasons in our lives. And in this story, again, we find the disciples in a storm, and they are terrified. They're uncomfortable. It's dangerous. And in this story, I believe we're going to discover some anchors that they clung to, anchors that kept them through the storm, anchors that I believe will keep us and help us grow through the grinding seasons of life. And so in Mark 4, chapter 4, verse 35, we pick up a very familiar story, and it goes through chapter 5 of verse 1. I'm going to read it here, and it's on the screen, but you can follow along in your Bible if you have it. Mark 4:35. It reads like this. It says, "That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him, and a furious squall came up. And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' And Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified, and they asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" And verse 1 of chapter 5 says, "They went across the lake, and they arrived at the region of the Gerasenes." Now, if you go on with this story, you read about an incredible miracle that takes place in that region, a miracle that actually had ripple effects that went into the Decapolis, the region of the 10 towns, where a revival would break out 6 months later because Jesus touched a particular man and delivered him from demons. It was powerful what was happening, but to get to that place, the disciples had to reach down and they had to find some grit. They had to find some grit, and they had to press forward, and they hung on to some key things that we're going to look at today. How do we grow through the grinding seasons of life? What do we hold on to in the storms, in those grinding storms that continue to rage on and on and on? They wear us out. They wear us down. What do we hold on to? Where do we find strength? Where do we renew our hope? Three things we're going to pull out of this text today. The first one is this. Number one, hold on to the call. If you're in a grinding season, if you're facing a grinding situation or circumstance in your life, whatever it may be, friend, the first thing that I believe we need to do is this: hold on to the call. Hold on to the call. The Bible says that one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." It was a divine call to head in a new direction, to take on a new challenge, to go somewhere they had never been before. It was a call to go into a preferred future for somebody else, designed by God Himself. The question I have for you is, what has Jesus called you to do? What challenges has He called you to undertake? I vividly remember the days, of course, now, being that I gave my daughter away in marriage yesterday. I remember the days and recall them clearly where I held each of my newborn daughters. And I was overwhelmed with the immense responsibility of the call of parenting. You remember that if you're a parent? Just an amazing moment. And it's not always easy, and it hasn't been easy, right? Sometimes it's a grind. Sometimes it's a grind, but it's a call of God. I think of the call of God in my life to live as a husband, and it was and is a sacred call, but sometimes there are difficult grinding seasons. Heather, don't say amen. Just as real is the call to singleness. If you're single, you are called to. You're called to live holy and joyfully dedicated unto God, serving Him fully and fearlessly in community with others as a light for the gospel of Jesus Christ. As followers of Jesus, we're called to be light in this dark world, to be salt, lovingly and tastefully pointing people to our Savior wherever we go. What has Jesus called you to do? We all have callings on our lives from God. What's yours? What is your call? Friend, if you're in a grinding season of life, if there's a circumstance that is unrelenting, what has Jesus called you to in the middle of that? What is His call? Here's what I know. We are safe, not necessarily comfortable, but we are safe when we surrender to the call. If you're in the grind of life, if you're facing a challenging situation, I want to challenge you, when you hold on to it, you are surrendering once again to the call. The call to love your spouse the way God loves you. And it may be a grind. The call to love your children, even though they might drive you crazy. What has God called you to? Hold on to that call. Don't let go. Don't give up. Press in. Press in. Not only are we safe when we surrender to the call, I want you to know this as well. We are not alone in the call of God on our life. God is already working in the place He has called you to. He's already working. Heather and I, we often ask ourselves this question. Many of you know, some of you may not. We are going and we're planning on planting a church in a city in Spain in the future. We barely know Spanish. Hola. We barely know Spanish. We barely know Spanish culture. And we sit back and we wonder and we think and we, you know, sometimes we can drive ourselves crazy with this, but we ask honest questions, right? I mean, we're honest about this. And me, I often ask, God, how is this going to work? And time and time and time again, God says, Mark, don't worry about it. I'm already there. I'm already working. You just go. You just be faithful. You just dig in, press in. Hold on to the call. Friends, we're not alone. God is already working in the places He has called us to. Maybe there's a difficult circumstance, a relationship in your life, and it's grinding away at you. Maybe you've even given up on a calling because it's just not working the way you thought it would. Friend, hold on to the call. Remember what Jesus has called you to. He has, He is, and He is wanting to do even more than you could ask, think, or imagine. But we must hold on to the call. The second thing I believe that this scripture points out here, another anchor, number one, hold on to the call. But number two, I think it's just as important, hold on to your commitment. Hold on to your commitment. The Bible says that the disciples, at the bidding of Jesus, got in the boat and they started to the other side. They said yes. They made a decision. What have you decided? Hold on to your commitments. You know, our commitments are not casual to God. The psalmist says in Psalm 50, verse 14, fulfill your vows to the Most High. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. Jesus in Matthew 5, 33 says, again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. Our commitments are not casual to God. Hold on to your commitment. You know, stepping into the call, and I believe this was so for the disciples, and it relates to many of us, stepping into the call can be exhilarating, but staying with your commitment can be incredibly challenging. Friend, I encourage you, choose to be faithful. Choose to be faithful in those moments. Hold on to your commitment and just choose to be faithful. Stay in the boat. The disciples, you know, here they are in a storm, and I got to believe their boat's going down. What are we going to do? They're bailing as best as they can. They're trying to keep it afloat, looking maybe for other options, but they stayed in the boat. They held on to their commitment. Friends, I'm so glad that in Christ, we don't have to feel pressure to perform or to overperform. Friends, we just need to be faithful. We need to be faithful. We don't need to look for success in the eyes of others, but we need to strive for success in the eyes of God. Hold on to your commitment. All we have to do is be faithful. There's a friend of mine who, his name is Ernesto, and I just love him dearly. In fact, I was just texting him the other day, and I'm going to see him this week. He's a friend I met in Spain, and Ernesto is a Catalan. You know, he's just hardcore Spanish, and about 35 years old, a young professional guy, really smart, really just a really top-notch guy. And he had started coming to our church in Barcelona there, oh, maybe about a year and a half ago, if I remember right, maybe almost 2 years ago now. And just lots of questions, far from God, far from God. In fact, when he got baptized in July, just this last July, he said this. He said, he described himself as a Catholic agnostic. That's just, those are his words, not mine. But Catholic agnostic, Catholic atheist. He just said, there was no God. I didn't believe there was a God. Far from God. And God just began to slowly work in his life. He joined our Bible study that we had there in our apartment, and along with a bunch of other couples. And we studied the Bible together, and he had lots of questions and just trying to figure out who this is, who God is, what this is all about. So many conversations with myself, with Heather, with other people from our church there. And we just saw God slowly working in his life. And I felt pressure. What am I going to do? How am I going to win him to Jesus? You know what I'm saying? Have you ever felt that way before? How am I going to win him to Jesus? But I just felt like God saying, Mark, just be faithful. Just love. Just keep loving him. Just keep loving him. And we would go out for dinner, and we would have these great conversations. And I remember the day that we actually helped move one of our other friends from our Bible study group. You know, there's nothing like moving people. What a great ministry that is. Ooh, Jesus, help us. So we were moving stuff up and down 5-6 flights of stairs in an apartment. The elevator was not there in that building, and helping him move. And Ernesto and I are just having the greatest time in the world, laughing and joking. And you know, something broke in that moment in his heart. And it was nothing, I mean, it was supernatural, but it wasn't anything like a wow moment. But there was just something that broke, a connection that we made, just moving furniture. And just, you know, just loving each other and enjoying life. And God was working in his heart. God said, Mark, just be faithful. And we prayed, and we loved, and he gave his life to Christ. And how awesome is that? That God has worked. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. I encourage you tonight, if you're in a grinding season, if there's a season of just real struggle that you've been going through, it's a storm. It's difficult. Hold on to the call. Hold on to your commitment. Choose to just be faithful and watch God work. Third and finally, hold on to Jesus. Look at the storm again in verse 37. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" I imagine that in this story again, the disciples were furiously bailing out water. They were working hard to keep the boat afloat, doing everything they could. They were grinding away, they were battling the storm, and they were losing ground. They worked hard, while Jesus, the creator of the universe, was quietly resting and waiting in the boat. They just didn't understand what he could do. Hold on to Jesus. Friend, when you're in a grinding season of life, when it seems like all is lost, because of Christ, there is still hope. Paul writes this. He says, "He has delivered us from such a deadly peril." Now, if you know the Apostle Paul, if you know anything about this guy knew perils. I mean, he was a disaster. Everywhere he went, he was getting in trouble. He was being beaten up by, you know, every guy and his sister. I mean, this guy was a magnet for problems. He said, "Jesus has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us." Friends, storms are fearful, but Christ is faithful. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. When you're in the grinding season, hold on to Jesus. How do we do it? We pray. We ask and we keep on asking. We trust and we keep on trusting. We hope even when it doesn't seem possible. We hold on to Jesus. The example of the disciples in this scripture, it shows us this. It shows us that prayerlessness prolongs the inevitable, but prayerfulness invites the possible. The disciples worked and Jesus rested, but when Jesus started to work, the disciples were able to rest. Maybe tonight in your grinding season, you need to ask again, or maybe for the first time, Jesus, would you work? Would you bring your grace into my marriage? Would you bring your grace into my family? Jesus, would you work in this particular storm in my life? Jesus, I'm facing this particular physical battle and I feel like it's drowning me. I'm suffocating in it. I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, would you come and do what only you can do? You see, prayerlessness prolongs the inevitable, but prayerfulness invites the possible. You know some of these verses. James 4, chapter 2, the half-brother of Jesus says, you do not have because you do not ask God. In Ephesians 3, 20, the Apostle Paul reminds us that God is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or even think. Friend, when you're in a grinding season of life, remember, hold on to Jesus. Here's the amazing thing. I've discovered this. When you hold on to Jesus in these seasons, here's what you discover. You discover that he's the one who's actually holding on to you. He's holding on to you. Are you in a grinding season? Do you feel it? Is it pulling at you? Friends, what are you holding on to? Where do you find hope and strength and joy in these storms? Friends, hold on. Hold on to the call of God in your life. What has he told you? What has he called you to? Remember that calling. Hold on to your commitments. What have you already decided? What oaths have you made? What decisions have you taken on? Hold on to those commitments. Most importantly, hold on to Jesus. Why? Yeah, the storms are fearful, but Christ is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word and we thank you for your presence here in this place. Lord, I thank you for the ministry that has been taking place throughout this room, all through this night. I believe, God, that you've been speaking to many hearts here. You've been reminding us of your call on our life, showing us that we're not alone, showing us that you're already at work in situations that maybe we've given up on, but you haven't. People that we've let go of, but you're not done with them. Situations that we say are impossible, but you say all things are possible with you. Lord, for some tonight, I just believe that man, they're just depression, disappointment, discouragement, pain, unforgiveness, self-condemnation. These things have just filled up our lives, but God, we can let go and we can grab onto you. God, would you give us the courage to do that tonight? I pray you give us courage. Would you grace us with courage? Courage to believe one more time. Courage to press in and say, Jesus, would you do something about this? Courage to be faithful. Courage to trust you. Courage to let hope spring up when we only see death, when we only see disappointment. Have your way, I pray. Have your way. Breathe, Holy Spirit. Breathe. Breathe. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight, before we continue on with every head bowed and every eye closed, this is a soul-winning church. We believe that the best thing that could ever happen in any gathering of any kind, this place is for somebody to make a decision to follow Christ. And maybe you're here tonight and you've never made that decision to give your life to Jesus. Can I tell you this? It'd be the best decision you've ever made. Change your life completely. Doesn't mean that all your problems will go away. It just means that Jesus will step into your boat and He'll be with you. There'll be a power there. There'll be a hope there. There'll be a joy there. There'll be transformation there that you've never had or believed could ever be a part of your life. He'll do it. He'll do it. With every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, if that's you, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, or maybe you're here tonight and you would say, Mark, I once walked with Jesus, but I don't anymore. And I want to recommit my life to Him tonight. If that's you tonight, you've never accepted Him, or you want to recommit your life to Christ tonight, all you have to do with every head bowed and every eye closed is just wave your hand at me, and I want to pray with you tonight. If that's you, just wave your hand at me. Yes, I see your hand back here, right here in the middle. Anybody else, you say, that's me. Would you pray for me? I see you. Anybody else? That's me. Would you pray? I want to accept Christ as my Savior. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. Yes, I see your hand back there. Anybody else? Let me give just a few more moments. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I see your hand. Put your hand down. Let's do this tonight. I want to pray, and I want us to pray together with these friends. And if you would just help us, let's all pray together. I'm going to pray a prayer. If you just repeat it after me, and for those that raised your hands to commit your life to Christ, to recommit your life to Christ, just take these words and make them your own. All right, let's do that. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I need you. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me. Make me new. Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I believe you are the Son of God. You came for me. Jesus, I want your life, eternal life, both here and forever. Change me, Lord. I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer and meant it tonight, I want you to know that you are right with Christ. You are new in Him, and it's a new day. It's a new beginning. He's your Savior. He's going to work in you in ways like you've never experienced before. Friends, can we do this tonight? Can we all stand together? And I've asked Pastor Dan and the worship team to lead us in a song. And I want to pray tonight. I believe that there are many that just want to spend some time in the Lord's presence. And I know prayer team is going to come and wants to pray with you. But if you're here tonight and you would just say, you know what, I just want to get with God tonight. It could be about this grinding season. It could be about something completely different. But you would just like to come and spend some time in the Lord's presence. These altars are open. We invite you to come. And we're going to pray for you as you come here tonight. But as the worship team leads us, you come tonight. And you come and just believe and expect that God will meet you here in a very special and powerful way. So you come as the worship team leads. Let's pray.